everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with midwifery business consultation. I have Lynn Wolf Ostrom, a certified nurse midwife that has been practicing for a couple of years now, but I think she's a pretty cool, I stalked her a little bit before our recording started, pretty cool backdrop resume for before becoming a midwife. So thank you for joining me today, Lynn.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So tell me about your midwifery journey, not just with starting school, but just like the pathway and just how, why it was important to you and how you are where you are today.
So it really started about almost 16 years ago when I was pregnant with my first child. And I remember when I first got pregnant thinking, okay, I got this kid in, how am I going to get it out? I was terrified. You know, 23 years old, just like 24 years old, however old I was, just absolutely terrified. And I remember making a comment to a friend about it. And she said, oh no, it's totally fine. You just go get your epidural and you won't feel a thing. And then I remember thinking like, okay, yeah, okay. But that doesn't quite seem right. Mm-hmm. And then I stumbled upon Hensie Goer's book, The Thinking Woman's Guide to Birth. And that book literally changed my life. I ended up seeking out a doula and doing like the Bradley method classes and switching from this group of like 10 OBGYNs to this midwifery practice. And this was in San Diego. So they have a really cool like birth center within UCSD that's separate from labor and delivery. So for people who really want to have a midwife, like sort of home-like birth, but still with like the safety net of being in the hospital. And so that's where I ended up going and having my first child and having a really like fast, uncomplicated birth and feeling super empowered by that. And that just sort of like sparked this little bit of obsession, like this, like, wow, like this is amazing. Like my life changed. I went from being so fearful of this process to realizing what an amazing life-changing experience it really is. And I started kind of like stalking local midwives and I did a doula training and started like asking everybody I knew if I could come and be at their birth and did a lot of that. And then I kind of reached this point where I was like, do I want to do a CPM route or a CNM route? And at the time I went through a divorce and I was thinking, well, I should probably go the CNM route because that will provide me more stability and security financially. And so I ended up going back to school for nursing. I had a Spanish degree, so I had to like start from scratch. In the meantime, I had another baby. I had that one at home. Went back to school, finished my, did like an accelerated Bachelor of Science in nursing that took 11 months and was really intense, but really amazing. I learned so much. And I knew, and the whole reason I went to nursing school was to be a midwife. So immediately got a job doing labor and delivery. And I did that for several years. And then about 3 years in, I went back to school for midwifery at Frontier and had another baby at home. And so also a really good experience. And so that's kind of where the journey, and then somewhere along the way, I did a lot of other things to kind of supplement my income. I taught yoga. I even did a little bit of a stint working for Ricky Lake and Abby Epstein, promoting business being born, more business being born. So fun little tidbit. If you see their 4-part More Business of Born series, my name is in the credits.
Very cool.
So that was kind of fun. Yeah. And now here I am. I work at a federally qualified health center and I attend birth in the hospital. And it's my first midwife job and I'm almost 2 years in. So.
So I guess you've been to so many amazing places and seen so many settings. You personally delivered at home. You've been on one side of the country to the other. Like, do you feel like, cause I know sometimes people as a new grad, they stumble on the right job initially, or they're like, okay, it's my first one. There's some goods, the bads, but do you feel like you found one of those dream diamond in the roughs? Or, I mean, I don't want you to get in trouble with your job, but I just like, everybody has little challenges with, yeah, you feel like you're in a good place.
I mean, and I don't know that the dream diamond in the rough, like the place you stay forever really actually exists personally, sure. Because I am somebody that constantly is evolving and changing. And I feel like I strive to constantly be learning more and changing. And, I don't like to get too comfortable because then I get bored. And so I think where I am right now has been a really, really good experience. I've learned a ton. I've taken care of a lot of high risk patients. And, one thing I really, really love is that I have a lot of Spanish speaking patients, and because my first degree is in Spanish and being able to use that. And that's a population that's really close to my heart. So yeah, it's been a really good experience and added benefit. Federal loan repayment.
Yes. So you got a couple
will I stay here forever?
So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Will I stay in this job forever? I can't really say. Who knows what the future holds, but I do have a couple of other little things that I'm working on. I'm finishing my
little side hustles and certifications. Yeah, like, and we're always learning.
Exactly.
If you want to talk, if there's some people watching this that are like finishing midwifery school, thinking about midwifery school, tell a little bit more about the loan repayment program that's available and what you're part of.
Yeah. So what I did is if you work in a qualifying location and they have to have certain like a certain score, and I don't know exactly what that number is or anything, but it's through HRSA. So HRSA, you can search that, HRSA loan repayment or nursing loan repayment. And it's really cool. So I work in a federally qualified health center and it meets the appropriate score. I got $50,000 in loan repayment in exchange for a 2-year contract. And then there's the option each year you renew to get, or after that 2 year, you can renew for another year and then another year. And you get $20,000 each additional year that you renew. So, it wiped out a good amount of my student loans, which was really awesome.
Yeah. A lot of people have their like, I need this crazy high job salary because I've got 6 months of lean time, but once they start, right, it's like half my income. How do I make this work out? I know, and as a new graduate, if you're open to moving anywhere, I mean, experience is great, and to serve a more underserved community, you get the best of both worlds. You get a nice bonus in the process, and you get if I recall, it's not taxed at all as income. Like if a job, like if you take a private company or even a nonprofit hospital and they give you a bonus or a tuition reimbursement package, that's still, so that's the other perk too. It's not just, it's 50K tax free, not 50K that's counted as your
right.
income. So
yeah. And they just literally dump it into your account once you're approved. You get like a $50,000 direct.
So you don't even have to wait till the end. So it's actually at the beginning of the contract.
At the beginning.
Yeah,
exactly. But the downside to it is if you default, so like if you lose your job for any reason, like they will not work with you. Like you can end up in some serious hot water. You have to be prepared to relocate anywhere to complete your contract if you were to lose your job. Because
so similar to military, once you sign exactly. up for HRSA, you've got 2 years. They own you. You can't. So what's the word in the military when you're trying to run away from
like desertion?
How is it called?
I think it's called desertion. I should know this because my husband's military.
But my family that's in the military is going to be embarrassed by me. But yeah, it's probably the same thing, like midwife desertion. Oh, he can't leave this contract. But I mean, that's the worst thing. It's like, okay, if you're saying for 2 years, you're going to work in some sort of HRSA facility to make $50,000, that's 25 grand a year on top of your salary and benefits.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. It's a nice benefit for sure.
Perfect. So what other things, I know you said you've been a yoga instructor, you haven't said on the recording yet, but you said offline, you're working on your psych NP. So what are you really passionate about? And you see some future dreams or goals that you want to accomplish?
Yeah. So ultimately, with all three of my kids experienced really bad postpartum depression. And with my third one, it was so bad that I was like faced with like feeling like I needed to be hospitalized, but not willing to do it because I didn't want to be separated from my breastfed baby. And I realized there's just no resources. Like there's nothing. There's like, if you need to be hospitalized, they are not letting the baby go with you. And that's horrible. I think that just makes it worse. And so it just kind of stirred something in me. Like this can be prevented. How many people do you hear? I'm sure you've had patients that are like, I just found out I was pregnant, so I stopped all my meds. And it's like, nah, don't do that. You know, let's talk about each med and whether or not it's safe. And sometimes it's safer to stay on them. And so that just kind of sparked that in me and made me really want to study that a little more in depth and be able to add that service for my patients. So, I mean, it's someday I sort of envision maybe like, I don't know, a place where new parents can come and share their experiences and also get treatment and therapy as needed. And, something along those lines, but also integrated in with midwifery practice. I'm not entirely sure. It's all a little bit, out there still, but I just know that I needed to do something to like create change in this arena because there's just no resources.
Yeah. Well, and just postpartum in general in the United States compared to other developed countries completely sucks. Like you have people that move internationally and they're telling you about the paternity care, and they get paid off for 6 months, and they like we have our mamas sometimes have to go back to work 6 days later. Like,
yes.
there's a lot of pressure with this fast-paced society and the financial demands of being so tight. Like, I hear it a lot. There's a lot of midwives like, okay, we're really good at catching babies, we're really good at one-on-one labor support, but the way the insurance world and the system set up our postpartum, it needs to be ramped up like 1,000%.
Definitely.
So with having the three kiddos, and are you working full time at this position here?
I am.
Yeah. Do you get to be, are you in that role where you get some days, or are you still on night shift? Cause I know that rotation being a new grad.
So I do, I'm actually the only midwife where I work, and I work with, we have three physicians and another one coming on soon. And then we have a PA that does office only. So I rotate call with the physicians. I do a 24-hour shift each week. And then I do 3 days in the office, and I'm always post-call after my 24-hour shift. So that's kind of nice. So it's a total of 48 hours a week. The 24-hour shift usually isn't horrible because our practice isn't overly busy, but you, as you know, sometimes it just goes crazy. So
it goes in waves for sure. Exactly. And did they have a midwife before you got there, or was it a newer?
They did.
Okay.
Yeah. So no, someone paid had, yes. They had two midwives before. And one left before I got there, and the other one was kind of on her way out retiring as I arrived.
Okay. Yeah. And do they have any plans of adding a second midwife, or is it kind of a nice rotation you guys have right now?
I haven't heard of any plans being discussed for that right now. I think they really are just trying to add more physicians, or we might be at capacity now that there's a new one coming. But, you know, because we have to, even if they add more midwives, like there still has to be physicians to do backup. So. Yeah.
Makes total sense. So do you feel like, I know you said you're using your Spanish degree, do you feel like your marketing and your yoga instructing experience helps with your nurse midwife position? Because we always joke we wear multiple hats.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's days where like I'm just helping interpret on the pediatric side because the interpreter is out, or they can't get the iPad to work or whatever. And then like with the yoga stuff, I'm always showing like patients with always people are like, oh, my back hurts, or I'm having sciatic pain. I'm like, well, let me show you these stretches. And they always kind of laugh at me because I'll climb up on the table and like get into, you know,
this is cat, yeah, the dog, and you're saying all these names. Yeah, and
exactly,
you're the yoga midwife to them. But I think it's important, like talking about yoga, we joke but don't joke, like there's these algorithm recipes to have very successful pregnancy and birth. And I like, okay, you can do cardio, you can do weights, but the power of Pilates and yoga for pregnancy and just the outcomes, it's just amazing to me.
It is. There's actually some studies that have been done that show people who do regular yoga throughout their pregnancy tend to have shorter labor and less complications in labor. So, and they can reduce your blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it can reduce risk of diabetes. So, I mean, it does, it makes sense. It's so good for you. It's so good for everyone to even just, you know, some simple yoga poses every day.
Yeah. Well, and we always joke, but don't joke, like, okay, practice squatting, practice hands and knees, practice these weird positions you're never going to ever do, but when you're in labor, and because if you're practicing them for the first time in labor, you're going to have leg cramps, you're going to don't have the endurance. Those muscles have never done that before. And so, yeah, I remember after having my first, I was like, I have muscles hurt that I didn't even know I had muscles. So, pelvic tone and even like when you were talking about postpartum support, I think pelvic floor therapy and just so much with getting a nice gentle, because so many people are like, well, I want to start exercising postpartum, but I don't know how. And yoga is such a nice, gentle way for them to start getting into it.
Definitely. And there's so many like free and low cost resources out there. Like I use Peloton, I think we mentioned before, and there's even some prenatal classes that like prenatal yoga, stretching, even like prenatal, like strength and core workout classes in postnatal that they've put on that app. And then like, even if you get on YouTube and start Googling, you can find free stuff. And so I usually try to direct people towards, you know, there's
free
a lot of stuff out there
if you can. And then it's on your own pace at home, and you're not trying to sit next to some lady that's 80 and been doing it the whole time, and you can't even hold a pose for 10 seconds. I think that's half the embarrassment is like, yeah, I don't know what I know is going to come in and see this. Yeah. So when you get started, it's kind of nice to do it at near privacy, your own home.
Definitely.
So yeah, I appreciate you getting on with me, Lynn. Is there any words of wisdom or anything for an aspiring midwife you would like to pass on?
So these are some super wise words that another midwife shared with me. Her name is Kathy Quick, and she's marvelous if you haven't met her. When I was in school, she shared with me, because it was hard, right? Going through school is hard. And she said to me, if you can do anything else, this is kind of bad, but she said, if you can do anything else with your life and be happy, do that. If not, be a midwife. And so I think that really rang true, because it's like midwifery is like a calling. And I feel like if you're called to it, like you won't be happy doing anything else, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so like, even with me kind of pursuing some of these other areas, it's all intertwined and related. And it's like, it's not like we're ever going to just abandon midwifery as a whole. Like this is who we are. I think it's part of our soul. And even if we, like, you know, you're doing something midwifery related, but maybe not necessarily catching babies or supporting people in another way, but somehow intertwined with it. So yeah, basically that was my word, sharing her words of wisdom.
Yeah. If you're not 110% committed, like, oh my gosh, you live and breathe like in your innate core. And I think sometimes, because there's so many different educational pathways for midwifery and types of midwives and sometimes tension, like we just need to go to the basics. Like we all have the innate core of why we became midwives. We want to support families. We want to empower. Exactly. We want advocacy. We all want the same things. Otherwise we'd have picked obstetricians. We would have picked something else. Right. There's a reason we all became midwives and picked this really hard profession. You have to have the drive and love. And so I think sometimes getting to the basics of like, in this society we have now where there's so much division, like what are our common grounds? Why? Yes, you have this experience, this culture, this belief, and this, viewpoint, but why are we all doing this? We're all going to have a very similar answer.
And people ask things all the time, like, are you pro or against epidural? And I'm like, well, yes, you know, because
Each situation is different. Like,
exactly. And it doesn't, and personally, I don't care if you come to me and I just want my repeat C-section. Like I'm here to be your midwife. And that doesn't necessarily mean we have to have like this beautiful candlelit birth in the woods. Like this just means I want you to have a positive experience, whatever that looks like for you. Yeah. And I think that's something that people need to remember. So,
yeah. Well, and it's always going to the basics. Like what's the definition of midwife with woman? It's not home birth. It's not catching babies. It's not anti this. It's literally just the definition supporting women and their families and whatever degree it's going to look like. Yeah. I did my PhD the thesis for a master's degree on epidurals. So the true informed consent, because it's like, I don't care if you get one or don't, but did you get informed consent about the choice you made? I think that's the biggest barrier, is we kind of get too laid back. Well, she said she wanted this, but I was like, did she all of a sudden not know that she could get a spinal headache and now she can't support her baby? Like, did she know that was a potential risk? Like we're pushing it so safe and, or one direction or the other. And so I think, just the basics of informed consent and not getting our own biases in. We don't know their situation, their needs, and we just need to advocate for what's best for them. So very wise words.
And then just one other last thing too, is midwifery is like, we're with women across the lifespan too. So some of the things I didn't even know I would love about my job, I absolutely love. I love teaching people about their bodies. I love teaching people about sexually transmitted infections and like how they're treated and, you know, what cervical cancer is and what that means and how you prevent it and how you, all these things, even like hormone therapy throughout menopause. There's so much that goes into being a midwife, and there's so many things that are fascinating, and you can break off into these little niches. And, and I just love that. Like we really do more than just birth and babies. So.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of people initially, they don't go and, well, I'm going to be a midwife because I'm going to do hormone replacement therapy. Like 99% of us go into it, I'm going to be a midwife because I want to catch babies. But then we get this icing on the cake afterwards. We're like, I didn't know as soon as they have their first period till forever, we could take care of women and do primary care. And like, that to me, that was icing on the cake, because I didn't, there's very few little known about midwives, let alone truly midwives practicing to their full scope or knowing what that full scope is. So, I think that's a good point to bring up, Lynn. Thank you. Yeah. Well, hopefully that baby you mentioned before we started recording, you had a lady that was anterior lip. So I'm glad that she let us do our recording today.
Me and, too. Watching her strip as we're talking.
So. I knew you were looking over. I was like, okay, I'm waiting for the call. We're going to get the midwifery universe was letting us finish our recording. So thank you. I really appreciate you getting on with me, Lynn, and have a good rest of your day.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.